This is a Capricorn FM podcast.
We are speaking to the executive mayor who then joins me on the line, Executive Mayor Pulesha. Executive Mayor Shai, good evening and welcome.
Good evening to yourself, Lamola, and to the listeners of Capricorn FM.
Good evening. Thank you very much for your time. I saw that today you tabled the state of the municipal address and you touched a number of issues, and we're going to go over some of these matters and cover as much as we possibly can throughout. We'll give our listeners at some point an opportunity to ask you any questions that they possibly may have related to what we're talking about, but hopefully many of the questions that they may have you will definitely answer as we speak. Well, let's start here, Executive Mayor, in terms of the state of the municipal address. And I know that there are many areas, if I was to say, talk to us about the key areas that you would go to. But let me start with these, and at the end, perhaps we will have an opportunity to go to some of the key areas that you want to communicate as well. But let's start here. What is the progress around the Giani Water Project, and in terms of the state of the municipal address, do you address that?
Ndamula, all the time when the Giani Water Project is mentioned, it is only referred to its history of some shoddy work that happened somewhere in 2024. And that has become an albatross around our neck. Even when we do good work arising from the current project, that history continues to undermine us. But it's important that we are able to simplify to our listeners what we are dealing with at the level of Giani. Now, you have the Nandoni bulk water, which started from Nandoni Dam to Giani through a bulk water. That one has been completed. And then you have a canal from Shikukwani to Nsami treatment water. That one has been completed. There is water flowing into the canal, coming to the treatment plant at Nsami. Now, when water arrives at Nsami, we take over as a water service authority. Now, the water treatment has been in the news during those particular periods. We can safely report now that that water treatment plant is complete. It's now producing 28.5 megaliters per day. And already there are plans afoot with the Department of Water and Transportation to increase the capacity of that water treatment by 10 megaliters per day. To effectively move towards 40 megaliters per day, we're planning for the 2040 horizon because Giani is also growing strong.
Yes.
Now, water from the water treatment will be taken through the nine pipeline, the bulk ones, which is work which is done by Lebanon. And these nine bulk line pipes do not have water in them because Lebanon is still working on them. It goes to all the 55 villages. It's only two bulk lines which now have water. And because Mopani is at the tail end, we are giving reticulation connected to these bulk lines. We have now connected to the two bulk lines, and there are almost 12 villages from the first phase of the 24 villages of the 38 contractors who are now connected and they are receiving water. Now, this is first phase where we are now giving water. We have connection in our household, meter where our people are now receiving water. Last week in Gamla, I was at a Wakuani, it's what 31 in Giani.
Yes.
That community is receiving sustainable water. No interruption, unless if there is maintenance at the treatment plant. They are getting water as we speak. So it's 24 villages out of the 55 that will benefit from the first phase. Now, in the next 2 months, 3 months in Gamla, you're going to see some of us in the village of Giani handing over projects because we are at the elimination phase where we are beginning to hand over project communities. And when we are done, somewhere outside September, we will then introduce phase two, which must cover the remaining 31 villages to conclude on the second phase of the 55 villages in Giani. So It's one community at a time that we are practically now beginning to develop. It is this part of the story which is not getting proper elevation, because the project itself was marred by a lot of corruption before, which the SIU and national government is handling. But for now, we are able to give water to the people of Giani. If you go to Ndindani, Namla, our people are getting water. If you go to Vede Mhlava, our people are getting water. You move to Mninginis Maphate, 99 practical completion. So the people of Giani are going to begin to benefit as we move in the next 2 months now.
Okay. Now, even as we speak about water, communities in Maruleng would have been frustrated for some time because the concerns there is the progress of the Mamecha Skororo project, that the concern is that it is that the progress is slow. What is happening? What has been done to fast track that?
I think those concerns, Gamula, are justified. Justified in the sense that in 2008, when we started the Mamecha Skororo project, drawing water from Blade River, we needed to construct a plant at the Ox. And remember, the Mamecha Skororo is supposed to benefit all the 28 villages in Maruleng, except for the last community in Maruleng, which is called Kelis, which is going to benefit from the poor water scheme in Zane. Now, we have put aside, there is 1.1 billion, which arise out of the water service development master plan of the institution which we adopted. Now, phase one of the project was to ensure that we construct the treatment work at the Ox and were able to put bulk lines to the nearest community of Finale, but also the Ox. And that phase is complete. Although it has taken long, and it was marred by limitations, which we have investigated. The AG made findings, and the AG is happy with the work that we have done on investigation. But currently, as we speak, because the Santeng pump station, the Mamecha Skororo junction at Sidawa, these ones are taken care of, and they are connected to the old line. They are able to get water. Now, phase 2A, which we will be completing in the next few weeks, because we're just completing the supply chain process. It is going to benefit the people of Botswana. You go to Malalane, London, Worcester, Enable, Amamecha, Mabils, AMB, but also Sidawa, at around 501 million rand. Now, what we have done, and this is the limitation in Gamla, I must be frank with our people in Maruleng.
Yes.
It's a bulk. It's not yet reticulation. What we have done is to request DWS through the business plan that we have submitted that we can be able to implement the bulk line together with reticulation so that our people are able to receive water in their yard as and when the bulk line proceeds. And this is the stage where we are. But as for the bulk, it is going to proceed.
Okay. Now, of course, at some stages been questions around the quality of water that the municipality gave to the people. So there was a concern around that. Now, what is the status of the Blue Drop report in terms of the municipality and the water that the municipality supplies? Has there been any improvement around that?
The last assessment in South Africa around the Blue Drop status took place in 2018. So there was a gap of around 9 to 10 years, and it was undertaken just recently. And the outlook of the Blue Drop here in the province, but also across the water service authorities, is not looking good. I can submit to the people of this province and Mopani that currently we are sitting and hovering at just above 53% in terms of the quality of our water. When they do assessment, our DWS officials, they look into the five areas in Gamla. One, you look at the design capacity of your larger plant because they have the propensity to introduce higher risk to many people. They look at your operational capacity, whether you're able to do operations and maintenance. And then they look at your water quality compliance. They then zoom into the level of the micro biological element, but also the chemicals that were able to use to ensure that the quality is there. And then they then look at the water safety plan. If you, colleagues, at the level of this institution, have developed this plan. Now, we have found one thing in the other areas. And the beauty of it is that BWS was able to say, introduce a corrective plan, looking at these five areas. As I speak to you, Ngamla, one, in the context of the water safety plan, we have concluded on the risk abatement plan. It is there, which gives an assurance to BWS that indeed would comply. We have hired around 21 process controllers who will be ensuring that in terms of dosing chemical maintenance, they are able to do that particular work. In terms of the big plants, which constitute the higher risk, they are able to manage that particular speed. So we have a pleasure in ensuring that consistent chemicals procured all the time are being dealt with at all material. So we have moved some miles in ensuring that we introduce the corrective actions with DWS. Now, come the next cycle of assessment, we can sit here and be able to say to our people, the quality of water in this district has improved from the 50-odd plus to somewhere around 80, 90, without any hindrances.
Yeah, and there's been concentration on agricultural development in the district and perhaps investment in matters of agriculture in the province as well. But of course, a special focus now as we have this conversation in the district. What is the district doing to improve on its agricultural investment, whether to take advantage of the agricultural opportunities that may be there?
I think I must in the preliminary say to our listeners that we of the 78 odd billion of the provincial GDP, we are the second largest contributor, and our biggest contributor in the GDP of the province come from agriculture, which is largely our competitive advantage, a core of our financial and economic breakthrough in the context of developing the people of Limpopo. Just here in Mopane, we host the second biggest, the largest tomato producer in the whole world. I think it's only second by some Moroccan companies. And this opportunity for economic development is literally taking place at our space. But just suppose that with our own initiative as a municipality, we have our own farm, 130-odd hectares, Musupa Sila, which has been lying fallow for many years because we've been lacking finance to ensure that we initiate the project at that level. We are happy now to report that through our Agri-PV initiative, that farm is now being resuscitated. It is going to bring agricultural investment more like a one-stop shop for all produce at that particular level to be marketed and be transported across the entire country. We are doing this working together with our Mopane District Agriculture.
Yes.
And you know the limitation is that, one, they will need access to sufficient water to deal with those. But also we will need to support the SMEs and cooperatives to also play their role at the level of this economic development. We are happy that the Department of Agriculture, through their task, they've been supporting many of our SMEs, many of the cooperatives. And as we speak, the skilling, the training that they are receiving from financial boost, they are now able to begin to sustain themselves in a manner that they can be able to contribute. Here in Zanele, our tropical paradise, agriculture is the core, and you will see in the next few years when Zanele is declared as a city that the developments that are happening here need to be covered with sufficient water to the farmers, to the businesses, so that we show economic development broadly to our people.
Yeah, and I'll circle back on, I'll come back to the economic development, and that's easily my next point in the conversation. Just that point you made about Tzaneen being declared a city. So there's work around that?
Currently, it has proven through the assessment that has been there that it is a secondary city.
Mm.
Now, the development that are happening here, if you bring in the Nkuankua Industrial Park, where as a water service authority, we are supporting this effort by separating the bulk water provision from the community to the businesses and hospitals, so that we have dedicated lines to the industrial park. The dam city is going to happen just alongside the Nkuankua Industrial Park. If you come to Tzaneen and see the development that is happening, it is happening at such a speed that effectively in the not so long distance, it will indeed be declared as a city. Therefore, you will need sufficient and sustainable water. That's why we are doing a project called Tzaneen Main Raising Dam. The dam, the big dam that you see in Tzaneen, we're raising it by 3 meters up so that it can improve from the 159 million cubic meter that is stored there to 193, which will then help us to even cater for the 40-year horizon, the generation that will come. From a business, from consumption point of view, they will be able to be sustained through the work that is happening now.
Yeah.
So then it's on track to become a city level.
Okay. To go back to that conversation we're having about economic development, and because that conversation is linked to unemployment, as we know, which is a big challenge in our province, and I'll just speak about our province now, and of course a big challenge in our district, there in the Mopane district. What has been done for economic development, but what is it's been done as well as a response to the call and challenge of unemployment?
Youth unemployment at the level of our district, of course, a challenge everywhere else.
Mm.
But as we speak, it's sitting at around 39% just here in the district.
Mm.
But there is a funny phenomenon in the district. And I will prefer that our listeners, particularly the residents of Mopane, are alive to this because we need to, from a planning point of view, begin to conjure when that must begin to turn around the tide.
Mm.
The dependency ratio in the district is hovering about 55%.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is where we are saying our people in the majority are depending on the social security, the welfare, the grants that our grannies are getting.
Mm.
And the majority of them are not yet detached from that particular thing.
Mm.
Therefore, the question that you are raising becomes even more relevant in terms of what kind of, and the majority of them are young people.
Mm.
But there is a funny thing which Tech South Africa has unraveled about our district.
Mm.
You know, the population pyramid should normally bulge from the bottom. As it goes up, it should be able to slim.
Mm.
Now, the funny situation in our district is that the population of those who are born between 1 year to 19 years, it's bulging, it's big, it's huge.
Mm.
But when you zoom into a population of young people between 19 and 29, it comes inside, it contracts, it's becoming even smaller. But when you go into the 30 years and above, it bulging will go down. Therefore, there is basically a serious problem around young people between 19 and 29. We are losing them in numbers. And there could be a lot of reasons around that. And it's a matter which all the planners in the district and all of us should begin to zoom in to understand what is it that is diminishing this particular age group, because the population pyramid at that level impacts on the dynamics of our population. But we have to respond in Namula to the youth unemployment.
Mm.
We have to respond in a sustainable manner, but also short-term intervention. And you can only respond to that when you go into partnership, but also explore the avenues that are able to impact at that level. You can only do that, Namula, if you are able to skill young people. You know, the National Master Skill speaks about the areas where we should specifically look into, but also the immediate task of ensuring that young people have this particular skill. That's why we have gone into MOUs with lots of people to ensure that they are able to skill our people in various areas. If you zoom into the water and sanitation, already through the UNSITA, we have around 100 unemployed youth that are in our water treatment plant who are imbuing but also imbibing these particular skills that could later make them employable but also stand on their own later on. We have explored MOU and we have it with UNSITA. We have MOUs with our TVET colleges. We have MOUs with CEDA from financing. We have MOUs with NYDA around business training, but also supporting the cooperative. We have just taken a large number of internships using our teachers at the institution. We are trying to ensure that we galvanize as fast as we can the skilling of our people so that they themselves as young people with that diverse interest are able to fend for themselves, but they become employable at a later stage
number. Yeah. So at some point I was going to ask you about major plans that are there to boost to boost the district's economy. And as you're mentioning that, I'm just picking up, these may easily be some of the contributing projects in terms of the plans that are there. But if there are other plans as well to boost the district's economy, please speak to us about that.
Ngamla, we together in the context of the DDM, the district development model, our responsibility outside coordinating with local is to support local municipalities.
Yes.
So that they're able to explore their competitive advantage for the benefit of the people of the district. Now, around January, February, we were in Mozambique, in the Masinjiri district. We were exploring the training agreement. I think in the next 2 months, we'll also be going back to finalize, but also zoom into the fishing festival, because their competitive advantage in Masinjiri is around the fish farming. And it's an area which we are also trying to explore. Now, we are also bringing the SADC economy using local government for purposes of economic development just here at the level of our district. If you go to Maruleni, you will know that working with the Department of Transport and Community Safety, both provincially and nationally, working with the South African Defense Force, we are beginning to find a breakthrough about licensing the Woodspring Airport to become the international airport. If we succeed at that level, it is going to be cheaper internationally to fly into Woodspring than flying into OR Tambo and Cape Town. Therefore, there's going to be a paradigm shift so that Maruleni is going to become a base where anyone who wants to move into South Africa will begin to land here. You know, those companies that fly their aeroplanes into South Africa, they found it more affordable and reasonable because they fly just at below 35,000 sea level, where they're able to save a lot of fuel than when they land at OR Tambo and Cape Town. Now, once we secure the license, we will then have Emirates landing from Dubai, landing here. We are also exploring the cargo potential, where we are able to land in Woodspring, the cargo planes that should be able to proceed into the country itself. Now, once we have that, you know that as we speak, Maruleni, with its tourism attraction, has a lot of international tourists who are coming every day into that particular space. That will then contribute to the economic development of the district, and ultimately we are able to contribute to the GDP of the province, and our people in the district will be able to benefit from that level.
Okay. No, I see. Of course, Mr. Executive Mayor, there have been times and where there were conversations and work needed to be done around the audit opinions. And you, in the past, received a disclaimer audit opinion. I understand, as the municipality, you have now moved to a qualified audit opinion.
Ngamla, that municipality belongs to the people of Mopane, and the people of Mopane are impatient. They do not prefer these regressions and negative audit opinion. But it's only fair that we are able to lay bare what we are dealing with at the level of the institution. Now, when we were appointed as a water service authority in 2009, that is where we stopped receiving a clean audit. From 2009, for the next 12 years to 2018, we received disclaimer, adverse disclaimer. And the ANC deposited me at the district municipality in 2018. Guess what? We needed short-term intervention to ensure that we turn around the situation. And we improved from disclaimer adverse. We got qualified for two successive years. When you start with the AG, the AG said to us, look, we see you seem to be serious about turning around the situation. You will never change the situation unless you go back to 2009 and you investigate the unauthorized, fruitless, wasteful, irregular expenditure. From that time to 2018, we went there. MPEC went there, investigated, they brought a voluminous report to council, and it recommended one, blacklisting companies, consequence management, criminal cases, a lot of things, which when we appreciated the report, we said, at our level, we may not be able to deal with it sufficiently. Therefore, we need lawyers to come into the space to be able to advise us on a course of action. And we have done that. And that work has cost us more than 3 billion of unauthorized wasteful expenditure. For sure, you remember at one time the MEC of COFTA wanted to put us under Section 139 and we refused.
We were refusing
because out of that report, we had covered a lot of ground. And we felt 139 is going to take us back because we're making breakthroughs. And immediately after that particular one, we began to undermine, okay, the SIU are in the space, they're dealing with a lot of work that we've given them. Number two, we ourselves have undermined that particular work. Now, we have moved out of a disclaimer because, one, there has been a change of gear around the attitude. The findings that the AG was able to make were normally at around 150-something, 160 findings. We reduced that by almost 60%. We are only having around 60 findings. We improved our water transaction with the local municipality. We were able to improve the submission of our annual financial statement. We improved on the turnaround time where we are able to bring the required documentation, which has always been a problem because this time we are able to put a backup electronically around that particular space. The AG has made material irregularity findings, which we investigated, and the AG became happy about the work. Now, that's why we got a qualified. Now, the question is, what are we doing to be able to either maintain or improve so that we do not regress? I have signed, as the executive mayor, a commitment action plan with the Auditor General around seven areas: improving and accounting on water transactions, submission of the AFS quality ones for that matter. We take over the work of water provisioning to municipalities if they are not working along the principles that we have set ourselves. Investigate the UIFW and go to council and make sure that they are dealt with. Undermine the MIs, material irregularities, which are able to point out. Work which we have done, and I can successfully say to you, Namula, now the municipality is able to have cash flow in its own, but something that has not been happening for many years. And this is done because we now work together with the municipalities. They are beginning to pay into our system, and we are beginning to account on the work that we're doing. So in the next audit cycle, as it comes, we want to think that we should be able to improve. Otherwise, maintain what we have. But our aim is to go through an unqualified audit opinion.
What is the financial health of the district municipality as an institution like at the moment? I know that there were challenges of debts at some point. What is the situation around that?
Our credit book, Ndamula, for many years, is very scary. It has been hovering above 2 billion for many years. We have been, for the past 15 years, adopting unfunded budget. R170 Making commitment and promises to our people when we know that we don't have money. Making contractors to go and work and we are unable to pay. This thing caught up with us for a very long time. Now, we needed to cut our suit according to our size through the austerity measures. Now, the 2 billion credit book which we had, it was arising out of the debt that we had with Lesele, the debt that we had with DWS, and the other debts which are minimal, but the biggest ones were this. Now, we're able to engage, and now we're working closely with Lepelle to ensure that we're able to write off some of the debts because they were historical, and we're able to prove that we've been consistently paying. We're able to engage with DWS, went into an affordable repayment agreement that does not impact negatively at the level of the institution. And for the past previous year, we were able to undermine that 2 billion of debt, and we are now sitting at around 705 of unfunded budget. That's why Provincial Treasurer said to us, your budget is now affordable, although it's unfunded, which means you can be able to run your institution as an ongoing concern, but you must look at this credit book because for as long as it is there, it will continue to contribute at that level.
Okay.
The other important thing which we did in Gamula is that the making Litava is also supplying the people of Zendo water. But dependent in the Litava. And they were getting water which we were not quantifying. And we sat down with them and were able, from a cooperative governance and DDM point of view, quantify the debt which Vembe owes Mopani. And we went on to an MOU, an SLA with them, where they have begun to repay the institution. The local municipalities, they have not been paying money that which the local consumers have been paying. We them are able to transfer into Mopani.
Yeah.
And now the local municipalities are paying. That is why the cash flow of the institution is so healthy that Provincial Treasury is happy with the effort that which we are putting.
Okay. All right. So we're continuing with Executive Mayor Pule Shai of the Mopani District Municipalities, 13 minutes before 7. If you have questions for the Executive Mayor, you can give us a call on 087-288-9697. That's our studio line. 087-288-9697. 079-899-6226. I would, of course, advise that we don't necessarily ask what has already been responded to, so not to repeat, to avoid the executive mayor repeating himself. If the matter has been addressed, then the matter has been addressed. Let's move on so that we can save time for everyone. Okay, let's take a call from Pitsi Pitsi. Your question to the executive mayor. Because of time, I'll just ask that you ask your question and we'll move on.
Two questions for the mayor. Good evening, Samatomo.
Yeah.
My first question is this. I didn't hear any address of the mayor relating to the outstanding water project Yamomete, which stalled from 2018 until now, whereby phase 2, phase 3, phase 4 was never done.
Okay.
And Met's
water
the,
project. That's fine. Let's move to the next one.
The second one would relate to this issue of Mamete's global water supply. I think the reports we are having relate to the fact that that project was supposed to have ended in 2020, somewhere June to April, April to June. Up to now, we don't see anything that is concrete that is going to move.
Okay.
I can advise the mayor to take that project by the presidential priority project. Because
All right. No, that,
Mopani,
that's
I
fine.
Don't
thanks,
see
thanks,
the
thanks,
mayor
Pitsi.
Finishing that
thanks, Pitsi. Executive Mayor? So the other one is obviously not a question. You spoke about the Mameja Skororo project in the beginning. I asked you a question about it. But the METS project that he's talking about?
The METS project that the RPC is talking about, we put money aside to go back to METS. So I was talking about this at the level of the SODA, where we are saying the Lost My Cherry, the METS, we put a budget aside to deal with the issues at that level. But also, just moving beyond that, I follow your discussion, Ngamla. Yesterday, Pitira Koma also raised issues around the mountain streams.
Mm.
And we can report to Pitira people in Marulin that we have worked with DWS.
Yes.
They have done assessment on the water streams from the mountains.
Mm.
We have reported to the water forums and the people of Marulin around the plans of DWS to source funding to ensure that the cooperatives in agriculture that are depending on the water flows, they need security, but also to ensure that we are able to bring them from a consumption point of view at that level. So there is a plan around the utilization of the mountain stream. Okay. To the benefit of the people of Marulin.
All right. Thank you very much for that answer there, Mr. Executive Mayor. Of course, you want to ask questions to the Executive Mayor, 0872889697. That's our studio line, 0798996226. If you're able to type, please quickly type your question so we're able to, it's very quick, or give us a call. Give us a call and it's very quick and we get the question across. What came of that matter of wanting to put the municipality under a certain section by Cockstar? I understand you challenged that in court. How was that concluded, if it has been concluded?
Well, we became sober, all of us, realized that we are one government. Remember, at the level of the district, we're saying we want the provincial government to support us through Section 164. Before you go to 139, you should prove that you have supported the municipality in a manner that it has drastically failed.
Mm.
So, We approached the court for recourse,
yeah.
But we engaged on the sidelines with the provincial government, and
yes.
We ended up agreeing that, look, let's agree that we should support the municipality through Section 164. Now, the provincial government is working with us at the level of the district, supporting us. And you see this many development, particularly from Cockstar, from Provincial Treasury, Falga. They are now in the stage. We are working very nicely. We are no longer at the level of that. We've moved out of that particular space.
Okay. Let's listen to this voice note, Executive Mayor.
Ngamla. Mufugina. Malora na Kishas. Sukaleka Magor. Netwa. Bakawa kure. Letawa dem isapla matika majosi. Na the surrounding area. Muna no makama gorgo amat. Mati kama goro community yilo ze hlenga mali yipusha bohole nako bohole ayitiri swona na mati ya ku hama nandziki ni nga ku henga mulandli ni ku vona mati kama goro a pipini yile ndzeka muti 20 years back or 30 years back so vanhu va hlenga timali every month ku xava diesel ya munhu loyi a faneleke a chela diesel a popa mati le xipelipelweni le ka magoro mati ku hava ka magoro.
Okay. Executive Mayor, how do you respond to that?
Va xipeli Ngamla va ri u kule heketela mali lentswana. I'm limited in terms of accounting for the residents of Vembe when my jurisdiction is Mopane. So Magoro, it's that other side. But what I can tell is that because our people in Magoro are supposed to benefit from a middle recover, when we engaged with the previous Minister of Water and Sanitation, we had three options to ensure that we resuscitate middle recover. But also the people of Magoro, if Vembe has plans, there's going to be a stage where they will be now cut out from the provisioning of middle recover, so that they benefit directly from Nangoni. That will be able to help our people at the level of Magoro. But the plan which the minister had introduced at that level was to, one, make sure that we are able to construct them upper level of middle recover in Vembe, so that there is a catchment that is able to bring water into middle recover. But
okay.
Also, second option.
Yes. And I want to appreciate your desire to extend yourself that much into that area. But is it okay if I say I think I see what you're saying. You're covering it. It's in the other district. But there's something in your district, perhaps, that I thought I should quickly draw your attention to that you might want to respond to. If we could take this voice note, Executive Mayor.
It's anonymous from Marulen. I just want to check with the mayor as to how far are they with regards to the showground, Marulen showground, which was a project for some years back, which is not yet completed. Thank you.
Executive Mayor?
Firstly, showground, in terms of the jurisdiction, has the competency of a local municipality to deal with.
Okay.
Now, I prefer not to mislead the listener, but it's important that I engage the local municipality to explore their plans so that we're able to respond better to our residents at level. Because the showground are noted, have participated in many activities at that level. It's fair that it's responsibility for the benefit of our people.
Okay. And this says, I read somewhere hearing mayor saying, the project of cleaning in this is a different matter. I'll come back to this. It's a separate matter from what we're talking about, Executive Mayor. Okay, and in terms of the continuous work that you're doing in the district, Executive Mayor, to improve the district, whether it's economic wise and so on, and we touched on some of these. I see in your speech, of course, there are many projects. There are projects in Dulekani, projects in different places that you have given updates on their progress, and you may not obviously be able to cover all of them now. But then, and you're subcontracting as well. I've seen some of the subcontracting has created some 64 jobs and so on.
All the projects which we are hitting across the entire district has potential to empower local SMEs. But the other side of the coin is that one, you will have a situation where projects are stalled because SMEs have gone into some serious discord with the main contractor in the areas of one. Sometimes SMEs, when they are appointed to work, they will then be required to bring in machinery, which they will not be having. And then they will go back to the contractor and say, look, we don't have machinery. Just give us money, we'll move out, we'll protect your project. No one will do anything. Just work on their own. That is illegal. And we've zoomed into the space and we're beginning to take law enforcement into that because that is corruption. Our people must be able to work, be empowered, so that even when the contractor is out, they have the necessary skills to go and fend for themselves because we want our people to be independent but standing on their feet. So if you go to Gian, with all the 38 projects which have been there, which 35,000 households are going to benefit, we have gone into the TVET, we have brought more than 175 learners who are receiving skills practically at the level of the water and sanitation project. In all the communities, we're able to employ more than 3,000 young people in our communities. Poor people who are beginning to find ways to help themselves. But guess what, Ngamlo? When we deal with this project, you know, you can be able to give project to communities, but that does not in the immediate alleviate poverty or completely extinguish it. We have contractors or business people who are generous to say we can be able to even intervene at the level of the community. That's why we're able to build around 12 houses in Gian during this particular period. 5 rooms fully furnished for the poor families who are living in 1 room with 8 family members. And they are the biggest beneficiaries of the project that are running in India. That comes out of the generosity of the business people who are reinvesting at that particular. So it's social compact. It's partnership between government, business people, and communities that will contribute around the sustainable livelihood of our people in a practical manner.
Yeah. And how do you ensure that the allocations and the monies that are put aside and so on are actually used effectively, that actually there is agency in delivering these projects?
Look, Ngamla, let's just use the Giyani reticulation as an example.
Yes.
It's a Witwicks project.
Mm.
The Department of Human Attention does not give us money. Money stays there. We appoint contractors. When they work, we assess the work, we monitor. They are able to invoice, and we are able to deliver to water. When they are happy with the assessment, they are able to bring money, which we just simply, through conduit, pay into the contractors. Therefore, we are able to account on everything that works at that level. But then you have your MIG, the money which comes directly into the municipality. There, from a PMU point of view, we should be able to have a monitoring and oversight plan in terms of the project activities, which determines whether this contractor needs to be paid at a particular level, when the work has been assessed, and all of us are satisfied, and we are able to apportion a share of what is engaged into the SLA with that particular contractor.
Yes.
That's why we are able to account of all the money that which are happening at that level now.
Okay. Right. Well, Executive Mayor, thank you very much for your time. Thank you for taking the time to engage us as a province, to engage the residents of the district and give them an update and an idea of the work that you're doing there as the district municipality. We really appreciate your time. Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate that. Right. So that is Executive Mayor Pule Shai of the Mopane District Municipality.
That was a Capricorn FM podcast. For more podcasts, visit capricornfm.co.za.